Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter and Sanctifier. Today we are going to look at the life of Jeremiah. He was a prophet in the Old Testament. Jeremiah's life was not working out as he expected. But life started well for the prophet. He was born during the reign of Josiah, one of Judah's good kings. He came from a priestly family and probably began his work as a prophet at about the age of 18 years old. Now that was highly, highly unusual for a young man to become a prophet. Most men in Judah were not allowed to even comment on scriptures until they were the age of 30. And so the Lord had given him, Jeremiah, incredible gifts. God made Jeremiah tough. The Lord described him as a wall of bronze. God spoke directly to Jeremiah. He made Jeremiah wise and insightful and passionate. And all of that made him very unpopular. Jeremiah's family and friends, they abandoned him, and he was alone in the world. His wisdom made it impossible for him to enjoy simple amusements because he saw the encroaching doom. He lived in evil times and the last years of the kingdom of Judah. But no one would listen. No one would listen. False prophets assured the people that God was a supporter of their sin, and Jeremiah was just a bitter conservative. The prophet had abandoned the Lord. The people had abandoned the Lord and turned power, money, and pleasure into their gods. They had claimed to know the true God, but they worshiped false gods, and they demanded that the church and the prophet himself change God's word and declare them righteous. The world does not love Jeremiah. The world does not love Jesus Christ and respect the word of God. It has dropped quickly in these last recent decades. There are real costs for standing up for your faith, even in the land of the free. It would be easier, much easier, to keep quiet and keep your head down in these times. Jeremiah, well, he had the same experience. How does someone hold to God's word in times like this? The first step, I think, is to take seriously the experience that Jeremiah had. He did not stop proclaiming God's truth, even though he felt like it. He really felt like it. He wanted to stop. And today's reading quotes him in verse 9. He says, "If I say I do not mention him or speak any more of his name, there in my heart is a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in." And he concludes, "And I cannot." God did not leave his people, his church, that's us, here on earth to fit into the multitudes of people with other types of gods. He speaks a different way, a different word than they do. A higher, ancient, eternal world that will always, underline always, will prove right. It's right not only because it's true, but because its purpose is to save the world from its folly. If you love your children, your spouse, your friends, parents, and even love your enemies, you shall want them to hear and know this truth, the real truth. The Lord loves his children, and that's why his word has been proclaimed to every generation. He will not let it die. No way will he let it die. He will not let it go unheard. He will not allow it to return to him empty without accomplishing the purpose for which it was sent. That doesn't mean now that we will escape the wrath of the deceived or of evil people, but like Jeremiah, we bear it. We bear their scorn, knowing that our vindication is at hand. We read in verse 11, "But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never, underline, never be forgotten." We err if we believe that we are on earth just to be comfortable and enjoy life. Those who speak the Lord's word are in a battle for the life of the world. It's not really an option to keep our heads down and our eyes averted. As we can tell from the creeds about abortion, assisted suicide, and euthanasia, we oppose an enemy obsessed with death and destruction. It's not about that. It's only when we understand what's at stake and the course of action becomes clear and a way we are to live to become a creed, our statement of our faith. We pray that our Heavenly Father would deliver us from every evil of body and soul, property and honor. And finally, when our last hour has come, that he would graciously deliver us from this veil of tears and take us to himself in heaven. We proclaim the word of God, which overcomes sin and death and the power of the devil. The deliverance that we proclaim is not only for the world out there that really doesn't get it. It's for us who get it. It's for us. We need a Savior, you know. We need a Savior not just from the world, but from ourselves as well, and the wrath that we rightly earned. The church is the home of rebellious sinners who seek comfort and pleasure. We have sinned in every way the world has. We share in the world's obsessions. But the church is also the home of forgiveness and peace bought by Christ's death and resurrection. Our sins are forgiven, And we get to share that undeserved love, that undeserved gift with others. And in the end, it becomes very clear that the world hates the church for all the wrong reasons. They hear our words as criticism that steals their hope of earthly power, integrity, and purpose. They are so quick to defend evil, they often, and here's the key, they often do not hear the salvation that the prophets proclaim amid their futile strife. But know today, this very day, that this prophetic word is made more sure for us. We read in verse 13, "Sing to the Lord, praise to the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy, who cannot save themselves from the hand of evildoers and from our own sins." The prophetic word, the prophetic voice will be heard. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.